Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're so glad you're here. You're here, and I'm at Walt Disney World, but that works out just fine. Stay tuned as we answer some of your listener questions, including a great question from listener Daniela from all the way down in Brazil, asking about mini golf down at Walt Disney World. We don't need maxi golf. Let's talk mini golf today. That's coming up in just a second. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I'm glancing down to my iPhone 7 Plus, hey, I see that I don't have any days to go. I'm checking into Coronado Springs today. But I'll tell you what, I've been using this app for years now because every time I get home from a great Disney vacation, I reset it, put in new pictures, put in new text, get pumped up. As a matter of fact, when I get back on Sunday, I'm going to reset this for June 30th for Toy Story Land grand opening as we come back. And that's the great thing about this app. Buy it once, you're set forever. Turn your Disney device, turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. Check them out over at virtualmickey.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Don't overlook the great convenience that you can get using Amazon on your Disney vacation. While I'm down at Walt Disney World right now at Coronado Springs, I drink a lot of Coke Zero, and I'm going to use our Amazon affiliate link to order some sodas for the room. And anything you order really does help support the show. It helps pay for the bandwidth, the hosting, and more. We really appreciate it when you click through that link. You'll get all your Prime benefits. Everything's the same. It just helps support the podcast. So again, please use our Amazon affiliate link at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1319 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel, who is getting more knowledge as we speak. I'm down at Walt Disney World at an agent education program with the boss, Pam Forrester, down there, and a lot of our agents over at the Magic for Less having a good time. So follow along on social media at BeOurGuestMike on Instagram and Twitter. I'll also be posting some live stuff on Facebook as well. So the Facebook group's Be Our Guest Podcast. Check that out. You know what? I shouldn't say we're having fun. I'm working. I'm working for you guys. That's right. I'm learning all the good stuff. Who knows what I don't even know. Team building. It'll be fun. I'm staying at Coronado Springs. That's what matters. It'll be a good time. I love that resort. So anyway, we're going to be we're recording this one a little bit early because we've got to have a show out there fresh for your Wednesday mornings. Hopefully your midweek is going as well as mine is, I hope. Ricky's here. We're going to have a good time answering your listener questions. So Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and TheOldMouseForLess.com. Actually, it's the Mouse for Less. Don't put the old in there. What's up, Ricky? How's it going?
I know what you're learning about. You're learning about Universal. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw it in every time I can.
By now, I have left the dark side and I'm back home.
It's fine.
Under those gates and you're washed myself.
You're fine.
I got rid of any horcruxes and wizards and
you're fine.
Whatever scarves that they wear. What else?
You forgot about all the other stuff they have too, by the way. But you're fine. You're fine. No, I'm sad that I'm not there with you guys, though. I'm sure that you guys are having a blast. I'm enjoying all the content that's coming from you guys, too. So
I'm doing the best. I'm not fast. We know I'm not fast. I'm definitely not furious. So I know that. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We'll have plenty to report next week. We can just say that. So obviously, we'll be going back to that. All right. First question. We're going to go to our chat because we're recording live on Facebook. So if you have questions, please do pop those up here in the Facebook chat and we'll put those on the screen and answer those here on the show today. So Dina Gifford has a question about she's going to Disneyland for the very first time in a few weeks. Any good tips for someone who is used to the world? So, Ricky, I know this was your case not so long ago. You know, you came back ranting and raving about how awesome it was. You're very comfortable with Walt Disney World and the scope of the place. Head out west. You know, you had so much to say. So what would you tell Dina first time out to the West Coast?
So go back, find my episode where I talked about it. That'll be a big help. The big tips that I can give you are it's so hard to describe how much smaller it is. Like, really. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just so much more compact. You really don't understand until you're there and you see that you literally can walk across the street, I use that in quotes, and be in Disney California Adventure or be in Disneyland. Like, it's the most bizarre thing.
I think it's called the Esplanade. See, look at that. The Esplanade.
It is the Esplanade, but it's basically a street. So anyway, that part's really awesome. It's really awesome that, you know, Downtown Disney is there too. So they've got all the shops there that are connected. You've got the hotels that are connected too. It's so cool. The one thing that really, it kind of depends on how long that you're going to be there for. But I will suggest, honestly, I did, and I know they're a sponsor. I did touring plans. I did have my touring plan. I set it all up. I did the optimization because I had a very short window of time that I was going to be there. I was really only there for 2.5 days. So I wanted to see as much as I possibly could within that 2.5 day window. So that really was my saving grace. Like, I was able to see everything that I wanted to see. I just put it all in the plan, and that's really how I was able to manage to see everything that I wanted to see. I would absolutely make sure, you know, you stop at somewhere like, you know, the Jolly Holiday Bakery and grab like a Matterhorn macaroon or, you know, some sort of like treat that's special for Disneyland. They have a ton of those. I'm hearing, even though it's not the same anymore, I'm hearing that Guardians of the Galaxy is just fantastic out there. She'll, I'm assuming, be able to see all the new Pixar Pier stuff. Did she say when she was going?
A few weeks, she said. So very soon.
A few weeks, so maybe not. That's like June 20-somethingth. Yeah. So you might miss that. But you'll see a lot of the Pixar Fest stuff, which is really cool too. I think that they're doing a lot of unique things with the new fireworks show that they're doing and everything like that. So make sure you really kind of take in some of that Pixar Fest stuff too. So
let me ask you.
I think you're gonna have a great time, honestly. There's gonna be so much to see, and it's just gonna overwhelm you. But that's okay. Oh, and last tip. Make sure you say goodnight to Walt.
Yes, and I can't wait. Oh, see, now you got my heart like, oh. Now see, the Universal talk, I think, took my heart out, but you just put it back. Oh, that's
no,
why
fine.
I go to Disney.
You'll survive.
Because it's
fine.
Got, Disney has heart. It has heart right here. Okay, so let me ask you this. So here, because when I go to Disneyland, and I am doing this soon, because I seriously, it's like, I feel like it's a piece of me and I've never been there yet. You know, it's one of those things. I don't know, when I think about my touring plan of what I'm going to do, I'm picturing maybe first to do all the uniquely Disneyland attractions and then going through things like Pirates, Haunted Mansion, Space Mountain, because they're all different. I get that they're almost their own attraction out there. They're so different in a lot of ways. But I mean, did you start with things like Alice in Wonderland and maybe
One attraction I never got to was Alice in Wonderland because Alice in Wonderland has a very long line almost all the time. And it just, you know, I was like, I don't know if I want to wait that long for this dark ride, but I hear Alice is fantastic. So that's the one ride I didn't get to do, but I really just, like I said, put in all the attractions that I wanted to do via touring plans, and they spit out, you know, every time I optimized, and they spit out the rides that I had to do in what order, and it was perfectly fine. So I mean, I would not necessarily suggest doing just the Disneyland only rides, because I mean, Pirates is so great out there. So I would absolutely want to make sure that I hit that. You know, Space Mountain is very different out there too, because it's the side by side car, or, you know, people sit side by side. You know, I don't think that Splash is as good out there as it is in Walt Disney World, but I do know that they've been doing some refurbishment work out there on Splash. So hopefully they'll have fixed some of the issues that have been taking place there. I think that, and like things like Snow White's Scary Adventure, you know, that's out there now, that's not at Disney World anymore, or Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, Mr. you know, Toad. So those are all things that were at Walt Disney World that aren't there anymore. So I say just do it in the order that you're comfortable with. So don't have a preset agenda like, oh, I'm only going to hit the Disneyland only attractions first.
All right, Dina, have a great time. Let us know how it goes. We'd love to have, because I know you drop in a lot of times here on the chat. So definitely have a great time. Let us know how it goes. Justin's got the next question here in the Facebook live chat asking, what drink do you like best at Trader Sam's? The wife and I are going for our adults only 20th anniversary trip. And we have some fun before our Ohana dinner. I'll say, I know, Ricky, you don't drink alcohol.
So I like the backside of water.
That's it. That's what I was going to say. Best place to get backside of water. You know, I'm not a big drinker myself, but here's the thing. The drinks at Trader Sam's are part of the experience. So what I would do if I were you, I would just ask a bartender, you know, what do you suggest? Let's do something fun, you know, and you can get a souvenir glass to take home. I got the Uh-Oa. And I think that was, again, we were there like right after it opened, like within a couple of weeks. And, you know, we got the souvenir sitting right on the shelf there. You can't see it, but it was a drink for two. And I think it smoked or something. I can't remember. Yeah, did it.
Like you put fire in it. I think cinnamon in it. Yeah. It lit up on fire a little bit. Yeah.
So it was fun. I mean, well overpriced. I mean, shoot. I can't even remember what I paid for the, like, you know, we got two straws. It was like the size of a normal drink, though. They're like, oh, it's a drink for two. It wasn't much. And but it costs a fortune. And we got the souvenir glass, but it costs like, you know.
I think it was like $40.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. Again, speaking of hearts, clear. Oh, what? That costs that much? You know, I could have had seven margaritas at Las Fuentes for that. So, you know, just ask the bartenders. They'll always steer you in the right direction with that. So let's hit the inbox. And this question is coming all the way from Brazil. I love this. Hey, BOGP crew. I'm Daniela. I'm from Santo André, Brazil, and almost 5,000 miles away from Pam. Been listening since I started planning 8 months ago. I have a 2-week vacation plan to Orlando for my boyfriend and me starting next Monday. So this one's actually going on while we're talking. Mm-hmm. We're really excited. My boyfriend said I could plan the trip however I wanted. I'm the biggest Disney fan, but he had one thing he really wanted to do. Mini golf. Just, I love it. I found out that Disney World indeed has a mini golf, but I found no reservation links, and I'm a bit worried that it'll be crowded upon arrival. Is that something we should worry about? Thank you for your fantastic podcast. Been listening almost every day. Daniela de Mello. And she said others might have the same question. She found her answer online. So, Ricky, talk to her about, you know, mini golf. You have options. I think you've been talking through Facebook, but, you know, put it out there for the broader audience.
Absolutely. Well, I actually spoke to her, so I wanted to make sure she had her answer before she left, because she did send it in via Facebook, so I had a conversation with her. But never fear. If you are looking to go to do the mini golf, you don't need a reservation. So that's the best part about it. You can just show up. That's one thing I haven't done is mini golf down there, but I do know that, you know, it's not something that everybody's clamoring to do necessarily. So you're going to be fine. You will be able to do if there are people there, you may have to wait, you know, a few minutes while they, you know, they go and hit the ball, you know, and then it's your turn. So, but that's pretty much all you'd have to wait for. So you're going to be just fine without making a reservation, because you don't need to.
Yeah.
So you're good. It's one of the few places at Walt Disney World that you don't need a reservation for.
And you can usually get a deal if you go after 4:00 p.m. during certain times of the year, which I think the time you're going, that may be the case. The rates are a little bit lower, so you can save money. No, it's actually before 4:00. It's during the kind of the heat of the daytime. But yeah, you know, at night the courses do get more crowded as folks, you know, it gets a little cooler and people looking for things to do in the night, but they're a lot of fun. Your boyfriend is on the right track. So you got Fantasia Gardens and you have Winter Summerland. I would suggest Winter Summerland over at Blizzard Beach. It just seems like it's a lot more fun. There's a winter course and a summer course. There's two 18-hole courses over there. They're just whimsical. Fantasia Gardens, also fun, but a little bit harder. Then there's this one course also over there that's based on actual golf holes, and it is hard. I've never done it, but I've seen people playing it. The other mini golf courses are fun, and they're kind of hard. You know, they got a little bit of a challenge to them. But, man, that other one that's got the, like, you know, fake golf holes that are really, really long, tough. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's when we talked, she said they're actually going to Fantasia Gardens. And I told her, don't do that one.
Yeah, that just looks like.
But she said her boyfriend really has been dreaming about doing mini golf for pretty much his whole life. So that made me, I was like, that's so adorable.
I love that. I love, man. I grew up on a putt-putt course here in Florissant. So that's awesome.
So I hope that they have a really good time when they're down there.
Absolutely. Hopefully I can catch them. I'll be down there at the same time. So that'd be an honor to meet somebody from Brazil. So awesome. All right. Samantha's got the next question. Hey everyone, I love this podcast. It gets me in the Disney mood during my work days and during my long runs. I have two very different questions for you guys, and I trust your expert advice. Question number one, we're going to China for our honeymoon. I asked for a Disney World honeymoon and we're going to China. However, our hotel that we're staying in will be in Shanghai, and it's about 5 miles from Shanghai Disney. I have a fiance on the hook for visiting during the afternoon or evening. Have you guys ever been there, or do you have any advice? And unfortunately, I have never been. I've rarely been out of the United States except for on cruises. That's it, down to the Caribbean. Ricky, I know you haven't been as well, but I mean, you read up. I mean, is there any advice that you've read or listened to other shows? I know that, you know, a lot of folks like Bricker goes over there sometimes, Tom Bricker and stuff.
Yeah, I know Tom is in Japan right now. So I don't know if he's been to Shanghai. The best thing I would do is to Google his or go to the Disney Tourist blog and then, search there to see if he's been. I don't remember if he's been to Shanghai or not. But he would be a great place to start. He's done pretty much all the Asian parks, I think, so at this point. So I'm jealous, by the way. And the only tip I will have for you is make sure that you do the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, because I hear it's absolutely, like, mind-blowing out there. Like, seriously spectacular. So different from what is here in the United States. So make sure you do the Pirates of the Caribbean. And then you might want to do Tron, because we're getting that here, so it's an option. I'm sorry that you can't spend the whole day there, actually. I would try to get him to let you spend the whole time you're there, the whole day there, because I think that you're going to wish that you had the whole day, to be perfectly honest. But if you won't budge, I mean, you know, try to get there as early as you possibly can. I don't know how lines are there. I think that they're relatively long. I think it's at Shanghai, where I've read that they have people who stand in line and try to sell you stuff. So, and Disney's aware of it, but, you know, it's kind of hard. It's hard to police. So when they do police it, they kick them out of the park. But just kind of know that you may run into something like that. That's something I've actually read recently from Twitter. But you're going to have an awesome time, and I'm super, super jealous. Maybe someday I'll get over there.
What are they selling, like secondhand iPhones or something in line?
They sell little, like, Disney tchotchke type things. I saw somebody was selling, like keychains, or, you know, like, they sell little Disney tchotchkes. They're really, like, in Shanghai, they try to sell things a lot. I think that they try to sell fast passes a lot, too. So just, you know, kind of keep that in mind, that they really do try to, from my understanding, they try to sell a lot to people. So just keep that in mind.
Hey, I might need to do that down to Walt Disney World this summer to pay for the podcast cruise next summer. We'll see how it goes.
They'll kick you out of the park. Trust me.
All right. She has another question. Second question. I think this is a really, really good question for everybody in general. She says, since I agreed to a China honeymoon, a Disney World vacation next year is in discussion. We are really excited for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. I'm worried about the crowds. However, I feel like the crowds won't go away anytime soon. Do you guys think it would be better to go in the fall, winter of 2019 or hold off until 2020? Thanks, everyone. I appreciate you answering my questions. Samantha is in Jackson, Michigan, where it is currently snowing. Hopefully not now, but who knows this year. It could be snowing. So this is a great question, because, you know, I'm kind of with her in the fact that, you know, this is not going to be a thing where it's like, oh man, that first month was crazy for Galaxy's Edge. It's going to be, I think it's going to be more akin to, wow, that first decade was nuts at Galaxy's Edge, because it's so hardcore.
If you think, like, just take Pandora and you see the lines for Pandora right now, and they're absolutely insane. I mean, really, really stupid insane. You know, 4 hours on just, like, you know, I think it was 4 hours here with spring break, you know. So you're definitely going to have long lines, and part of me is hearing that, and I don't know, again, this is just rumor, and please take this as just rumor, I've heard that maybe only half of the land will be opening up and the other half will be opening up later. So keep that in mind too. You may want to choose the 2020 date instead of the 2019 date, just to kind of make sure that there's a buffer in the fact that they do have the second attraction open. So that's something to consider as well. If it was me, I mean, I don't know, man, that's a tough question. I know that personally I'll be there, you know, as best I can, because I have an annual pass, but when you're only going the one time, I think I would wait. I think I would put it off and wait until 2020, only because I think that you'll have more of the things that have also been announced for the 20 the 50th anniversary, they'll start to come online a little bit around that time period too. So you may get things like Ratatouille that you would get to experience, or you know, something like that. I think you have a better shot of, so, because I know they're building that now, and I'm you know, thinking that they want to try to get that up.
Yeah.
You know, close to that time period. So I know that obviously the main goal is to get everything up by 2021, but I do know that they're going to try to, you know, get a few things open by 2020. So, and I'm sure Ratatouille is one of those. So.
As I look at it, though, to me, I don't see any negatives other than the fact that you know, you're a Disney fan. You want to get there right. As soon as possible. I mean, I get that. And the buzz is going to be, you know, because the thing is, once Galaxy's Edge opens, yeah. You know, everybody's going to want to be there immediately, because I think this is going to be, you know, just something that we've never seen before. I think it's going to get really rave reviews online, and people are going to want to experience it. I get that, especially if you're any kind of a Star Wars fan. But I don't see, other than the, you know, kind of like, you know, when you get a new iPhone, like, it's awesome to have it day one, but there's no real negative to getting it six right. months down the line. It's still an amazing device that you enjoy it daily, where in 2020, you know, you've kind of got a safe bet that the whole land will be open. You may have some other experiences you get to see. Like you said, you're not missing anything from the 2019 trip. Actually, you're probably going to get a better experience, because while the crowds may be the same, the kinks will be worn out, you know, worked out by then. So I don't know.
True. And if there's any issues, like you said, opening up, they'll be able to work those issues out. You know, if they're, like you said, if the attraction, you know, not fails, but I think that one of the bays is actually not working all the time in for Pandora, and that's part of what's causing some of the backup a little bit. So, you know, you've got those kind of issues that can pop up too, especially with a brand new attraction. So yeah, you're right. They'll be able to work out the kinks and get things going on a more consistent basis.
All righty. Lauren's got a question in the Facebook live chat. Thanks for jumping in, Lauren. We appreciate that. If I'm upgrading to an annual pass, should I cancel my Memory Maker, or will the cost of that be credited to my annual pass? They will not credit that toward your annual pass. As far as I know, that's what I've been told. So cancel that Memory Maker, because you're going to get it with the annual pass upgrade. Mm-hmm. So get rid of it. They're not going to give you that credit. So if you can cancel, cancel. All right. So let's go to the next question. We're trying to bounce back and forth through the inbox, because we appreciate people writing in to mike@beerguestpodcast.com. Elizabeth's got the next question. It's about HEA. So that's Happily Ever After Fireworks, Ohana, and Poly Beach timing. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I have a multi-part question about going to the Poly to eat at Ohana and see the fireworks. Raise your hand if you wish you were going to the Poly to eat at Ohana and watch fireworks.
You can
tonight.
Hush. You can do that tonight. know, you hush. So.
You know, I could. I forgot about that. I could.
Yeah. You hush. I cannot. You can.
No, actually, you're probably sitting in classes. Yeah. Oh, who knows? All right. Let's see here.
Have the opportunity.
Yeah, we'll see. My daughter and I will be at Walt Disney World for a week in August. Background info. We will spend the first day in the Magic Kingdom and see the Happily Ever After fireworks up close in the park then. Later, in the middle of the week, we're planning to go to the Polynesian for dinner and view the Happily Ever After fireworks and the electrical water pageant from the Polynesian Beach. Number one, there's four parts, Ricky, so focus.
Oh, God. Okay.
If we have Ohana reservations at 8 o'clock, will we be done in time to see the fireworks at 9:15? I say probably not, unless you're seated early by maybe 15 minutes. What do you say?
Yeah, I say probably not, at least on the beach. I do know that they have a couple of tables where you can see Cinderella Castle, but I wouldn't guarantee on being able to get those. So, I don't think you'll be done by then. So.
My problem is, I'm like, just keep bringing the meat, man. Just get all potatoes, bring them exactly. on, you know, like, and
because
if you have
you
any,
you wouldn't enjoy your meal. I mean, you'd be rushing through the whole thing. So I say no.
All right. So here's question number two. Also, if the budget doesn't allow enough for dinner at Ohana, would the experience be worth it to go to Captain Cook's instead and then do the beach thing? Ricky, I think this is right up your alley. I think you're a big yes, sir. You can do this.
I would absolutely say, yeah, do that. If seeing the fireworks from the beach is your main priority, then I would absolutely do that. Because you have control over what you're going to be able to do a lot easier.
Agreed. And there's really good. I mean, if you don't expect to have a 5-star meal at Captain Cook's, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised with the offerings there. Because they're not just burgers, fries. They're actually really, really good. I always go there.
The nachos are everything.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the thing is, like, with it being, you know, at Captain Cook's, you can eat it outside, too. You can grab it. There's tables outside. And if it's, you know, in August, it could be hot. But, I mean, if you can get a shady spot, it's the evening. You're getting ready. It's probably 8 o'clock. you know, that'd be a good option, I think. But Ohana definitely trumps it, but it's way, way more expensive. Her third question is also, there are extra magic hours that night at the Magic Kingdom when we plan on staying up late in the park. How difficult will it be to get to the park after the fireworks at the Polynesian? So kind of going the opposite direction, I guess, for most folks will be leaving the park after the fireworks. They're going to the park. I wouldn't see any issue at all.
No, it's the, so you'll get on the monorail. You'll stop at the Grand Floridian, stay on the monorail, and then you'll go get to the Magic Kingdom, and it boom, boom. It'll be easy. Yeah.
Or you know what? I might catch a boat.
Oh, that there's that option too. Yeah. I always forget about the boat at first, but yeah.
As long as there's no weather. If you get on that boat and it's raining, you are drenched. There's no saving you on those boats.
No, that's true. Unless it's an indoor boat, and then you're okay.
Yeah, but it's usually between the Polynesian and the Grand Floridian and Magic Kingdom.
I've had it where if it's raining like that, they'll...
Oh, really? Really? Yeah. I've always been on those like open-air little wooden boats.
Yeah. But if it's raining, they'll bust out the
indoor. They don't care about me. I'm like on the SS Minnow. You know, we're on a three-hour tour that I'm scared we're not going to make it. All right, number four, let's see. What would be the best mode of transportation from getting to the Polynesian from the Magic Kingdom before dinner and from the Polynesian to the Magic Kingdom after the fireworks? So we just talked about that, monorail or boat. I would say definitely monorail before dinner, because in case that water does kick up on those open air boats. But if you got to, I would say monorail before, boat after. Wouldn't you say?
Sure.
Good enough.
Yeah. I don't think either way you're losing anything. So I think you're good. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal either way. Just get there. So she says, thanks for all your help. I love the podcast. And my big dilemma every week is, do I watch the Facebook Live version of the podcast, or do I wait until it's out on iTunes so I can listen during my 40-minute commute, just long enough for a typical BOGP episode? So she says, thanks. She's one of my guests that I'm helping with the trip to Coronado Springs. So Elizabeth, thanks for supporting the show that way. And is that not the world's biggest dilemma? Do you watch live or do you save it? What do? You do both, actually, I guess. That's probably the best thing. All right, let's get to another question here in the inbox. Let's go to this one, because you're a romantic, Ricky, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. All right, it's anniversary.
You have the two most romantic people here on the podcast.
That's what we are. And Pam's actually the most romantic, you know, because Steve and Pam, you don't even know. She's not here, but... they're the most romantic couple on earth.
They are. She's not pretty romantic.
Anyway, so anniversary meal recommendations from Alyssa. She says, hey, I'll love the podcast. My family and I will be arriving at Walt Disney World on the 4th of July, staying at Coronado Springs for the U.S. Open Karate Tournament. Which means that, conveniently, we will still be there for my husband's and my 18th wedding anniversary a few days later. I'm 18. What's the gift for 18? Is it is it maybe a plank of wood? So you can be like, whatcha?
Stop it.
couple of cinder blocks.
Why do I put up with you? Seriously. That's what all the women in your life ask.
I'm going to be there on the 4th of July. I might have to enter this tournament and be like, what's the kid from Karate Kid? Not Mr. Miyagi. He's the trainer. No. Actually, I'm more Mr. Miyagi's age now probably than the Karate Kid. But
I've never seen Karate Kid. I'm sorry to say.
I've only seen parts. Yeah. I don't watch movies.
Neither version of Karate Kid, the new one or the old one, I've never seen either.
Okay, so anyway, I'm wondering about what the three of you, or actually two of us tonight, would recommend for a special anniversary meal. We will have our teenage sons, they're 16 and 13, with us, and we're planning to spend the day at Epcot. We will not have park hoppers. I've been considering Chefs de France or Via Napoli. What are your thoughts on both places? Is there somewhere else we should be considering, either at Epcot or at one of the resorts? Disney Springs. We don't want to break the bank because we're splurging on the fireworks party at the Magic Kingdom on a different day, and we're not doing the dining plan. What would you do? Alyssa's up in Wisconsin. So, Ricky, they're going to be around Epcot, but they could go to Disney Springs.
I have the answer.
Okay, go. You got it. Go.
I have it. I absolutely think they should go to Chefs de France. I think that's going to be the perfect option for them. That way they don't have to leave the park. They can stay there. There is an awesome, since they don't want to break the bank, there's an awesome meal deal thing where you can do the appetizer, entree, and dessert there, which is nice. And especially with the boys, I think that they would enjoy that as well. It's kind of comforty food, but it's kind of fancy too. So I would absolutely 100% say go to Chefs de France. That's a great choice.
Chefs de France it is. It sounds like, I've never been there. It sounds like a place that they would kick me out of. There's a few places like
not.
El Molino.
I promise you, it's not out. That fancy. That's Monsieur Paul behind
that
the,
one too.
The
I have a list of places that I will not even go in just because of the names of them. Like Narcoussis, nope, they'd kick me out. Citrico sounds fancy. I'm out of there. Victoria and Albert's, not a chance. I can't even look at it. You know, El Molino, not happening.
El Molino's that fancy. It's just. You're fine.
Yeah, more Columbia Harbor houses for Mike.
Oh my gosh. Go. You should really try Chefs de France sometime. It's actually really good, and I really think you'd like it. So,
yeah, okay.
I'm serious. It's not fancy at all.
As blue collar gets.
I'm from the same stupid town as you. Come on. If I can eat there, you can eat there.
All right. I'll put on a polo and some Dockers and trick them.
You don't even have to put on a polo and Dockers. You can just go in your theme park attire. You can go in what you're wearing today. It's fine.
I'll wear my karate suit that I'm going to wear to the competition the day before.
That's fine.
That's what I'm
going
to wear.
You're going
to
be fine.
All right.
Go wearing that. You're
Next
good.
Question is from my great friend Nancy Turner, one of the lizards. She says, I have an annual pass currently that expires in July. I think if you renew within 30 days, there is a discount. Is that correct? I'm planning on staying for 8 days during the Dopey Challenge, and I have a short trip booked over the Wine and Dine half during the Food and Wine Festival. Is there an advantage to booking tickets with my package and upgrading to the annual pass, or better to just renew the annual pass, Nancy? All right, first of all, yes, there is a window of about, I think it is actually 30 days from the time it expires. And it's about, I'm trying to guess, is it about a 10% discount? Something like that, maybe less. It might be like 5. It's not much.
It might be 10.
It's probably 10. You kind of sound like a mouse right there, but
I'm sorry.
That's rude. But yeah, I think it is about 10. So here's the dilemma, because I've never renewed an annual pass. And you might say, that's
really?
Weird. Why would you not?
I know why you haven't. But
okay, yeah. So here's the Disney math we got to all do, is that the reason Mike is, and I do 4 of them, guys, you want to talk about clear when you get the bill for 4 annual passes. I'm like, I could have bought a car. I could have bought a Yugo. So here's the deal. Like, I've never renewed one because you got to consider when you are going to go again. When you renew, that annual pass is starting on the expiration date of the old pass.
Right.
Now, for example, my annual passes will expire on New Year's Eve this year because I bought them. I got them fresh on New Year's Eve last year. So, which stinks because I'll have to get 4 of them or 3 of them again. 4 of them, I don't know if Paige is going, but I'll have to get multiple annual passes again for Marathon Weekend is what I'm saying. So the problem was, though, the reason I wouldn't renew is because if I renewed, it's going back to New Year's Eve when my next trip that I'm going down is always summer. So what I'm doing is I'm paying for like 6 months that I know I'm not going to Walt Disney World, where if I wait till the summer and then renew, I'm going to get that whole another 365 days, which I got to think, is that 10% discount worth lopping off 5 months of annual pass time? So I think that's the biggest consideration. Ricky, you renew, but I mean, is that something that you consider?
I do. It kind of depends. I mean, I know that I'm going every other month at this point, just about roughly. So, you know, for me, it really doesn't matter what date my start date is and what date it ends. Like, it's all, I'm going to take the same number of trips throughout the entire thing. So I'd rather save the money. But for you, when you were talking, you may, it may actually work out for you because you'd be going for Marathon Weekend. To actually just renew, the money that you'd save might be cheaper, all things considered. So that might be something that you actually want to look into this year. Is to renew your pass.
It just depends. I mean, the whole thing is, like, if you have a crystal ball and you know exactly when you're going,
wouldn't you have to pay for Marathon Weekend then? For tickets?
Yes.
So then I would just do the annual pass.
I might. Usually, my annual passes are coming up in the summer, though. Usually, for some reason, I don't know why they're coming up.
But if you're always, you know, you're always going Marathon Weekend anyway, so.
Hey, I might retire. I'm getting old.
You're getting old, but we can still go Marathon Weekend.
Running 12 miles a morning is getting kind of tiresome.
Yeah, you can quit that.
I know. Anyway. Oh, and by the way, Alyssa is in the live chat. We appreciate that. We love instant feedback. They're in. They're going to Chefs de France. She just called Disney. They're going.
I'm so excited. You're going to enjoy that. And yes, please leave the bow staffs and the swords in the room. That's probably a good call. I'm just going to say. Disney security would not be happy.
What's a bow staff?
It's one of the things that they fight with.
Karate people?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought they just fought with their hands. I thought that's the whole deal. Anyway.
I don't know. I never took karate. I just know that it's one of those those things that they fight with.
Dennis is wanting to know if we have any Disney hot takes tonight.
Stop, and we are not,
you know what? I had a listener email me saying she had tears rolling down her face as she was driving in her car because every time I said hot take.
Stop it.
There you go. Hopefully she does it again. All right, let's get to another question. I love this podcast. I love that you guys take the time to listen. Adam's up next. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My wife and I are both big fans of the podcast. It's a great way for us to get a daily dose of Disney. I think he's just trying to throw in a tongue twister. While we count the days to our next trip, we're bringing our three-year-old daughter, Lucy, to Walt Disney World in September for a six-day stay at Pop Century. It's our first time taking her, just the two of us. We took her for her first trip this past November with our entire family of 11. I have a couple of questions. Since it's just my wife with our daughter, we're going to take advantage of Rider Swap, but we've never used it before, so we're a little clueless. How does it work? And how can we use it to the best of our advantage over the course of our stay? So, Ricky, again, you are the Rider Swap queen. It's ironic because you're the one
like
that doesn't
I've
have
done
kids.
This question recently, actually.
I think we actually did this question, but we'll do it again. So, see if we're consistent. So, go ahead.
I think I did it last week. So, okay. So, it's very simple. For Rider Swap, you go up to the cast member and you tell them, I'd like to participate in Rider Swap. So, what they do is they hand you a ticket. It's an old paper fast pass, if you remember what those look like. And it will tell you that you can come back. I think it's up to three other guests. I think that's what it is. So then half of the party stays with the child. The other half of the party goes and rides the ride. Then when you're done, you swap out. That person that had ridden the ride goes and stays with the child. And then you go and you can ride the ride. And if you have a fast, you'll typically go through the fast pass lane in that instance, because most of those rides are fast pass attractions. If it's not, then you'll have to wait in the regular line. But and also, if you make a fast pass for the attraction, so say you stay with your child and your wife goes and rides it, and she has a fast pass, then she can go through the fast pass line instead of waiting through the regular line. So.
Bing, bang, boom. Perfect. There you go. And I think we did do that one last week, so we'll not answer the next three parts of it because we already answered that. But there you go, Adam. You get twice. I forgot to hit delete on the email. It happens every 1,400 episodes or so. All right. Ellen's got the next question. She's live in the Facebook chat, so I know we haven't answered this one.
All right.
Because it's brand new. It says, I just found out that I can go to Disney near the end of October for a weekend, flying down Friday night, leaving Monday night. How do I go about finding a good hotel rate? Do you think there will be any fall deals? All right, so Ellen, let me give you the skinny. You want to book, especially for that time of the year, you want to book that hotel room now and just cross your fingers and get your bow staff out, which I've never seen Napoleon Dynamite. Apparently, the chat room's telling me that's in that movie.
You've never seen Napoleon Dynamite?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I watch sports, people. Is that the one that has the shirt to say Free Pedro? I don't even know who Pedro is. I know that, but I've never seen the movie.
Hats in the Pocket. Oh,
whatever.
Yes.
Anyway, back to Disney.
I should put some tots in my pocket. I'm just saying, while we're down there
Are they serving those at Toy Story Land? Are they serving those for breakfast? Yes, that's what I was saying. The Woody's Lunchbox. Yeah, potato barrels. Anyway, so I don't even know what I'm talking about. But Ellen, yes. Okay, I'm a travel agent. I do this every day. This is what I do for a living. Book your hotel room ASAP because those rooms in October are at a premium. And then the thing is, if you book it as a room only, you have until 6 days prior to cancel with, you don't have to have a reason, full refund, no risk. Just get that hotel room where you're looking, book it. Right now, there's no discounts out for those dates. However, we expect that will happen probably in the next month or two, and a good travel agent will take care of that for you, or you can do it yourself and apply a future discount to that. Hopefully, Disney will put those out. Now, again, if it's a very, very busy time with no occupancy problems, if they're sold out, you're probably not going to see a discount at your resort or for your dates. However, you'll still have a room locked in and you can make the call. Is it worth it still go at rack rate? But, I think you will get a discount. But book it now because, again, hotel rooms are limited for October. So, and people are saying that movie's awful anyway. So
Eric is right. Napoleon Dynamite is awful, but it's so awful that it's good. Like, it's just one of those movies that it's like, what am I watching? And then by the time you're done with it, there are so many quotable things that you will just keep quoting all the time. It does help that I watched it in my 20s, or like, I think late teens, early 20s. So like, when you're watching it with your friends at that age, everything is funny. So we just keep quoting the movie over and over again. It's really stupidly funny.
That's what I do with Sandlot. All the baseball movies I do all the time. You're killing me, Smalls.
It's so dumb, but it's so funny.
All right, last question. We're going to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and it's not Pam, as far as I can tell.
Okay, good.
And it's a one-sentence question, which I like. It's from Nikki. Oh. She says, hello, my husband and I have been looking into DVC. However, we can usually only go to Disney every 2 to 3 years. Would it be worth it to join the DVC, or is it better to just book trips like normal? I think this is almost like we could do a whole show on this, but we have about 2 or 3 minutes left. Ricky, because I know everybody, I think, that's a Disney fan like us, has considered DVC. I mean, I'll be honest, I've considered it, because the thing is, like, you see it all the time. Like, you know, it's on the back of every bus at Walt Disney World. You know, it's, you're buying into something to make memories for a lifetime. And I like that idea. And I have gone. And the thing is, if I would have bought in when I first became a Disney fan where the points were, it would have been no brainer. But I didn't, you know, because I'm dumb and I'm poor. You know, so I'm like, I don't have enough money to do that. But I mean, what did I think about? Because I'm like a paycheck to paycheck guy almost. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have some big, like, oh yeah, slush fund. I'm going to buy into DVC. Every 2 to 3 years, I think, you know, for me, I think DVC makes sense if you're going every year to year and a half. I don't know if it makes sense every 2 to 3 years. Now, you could have a spectacular trip every 2 or 3 years. You could really have a blowout trip. But I don't know. Ricky, what are your thoughts on that? That's what I would say.
I was kind of thinking the same thing. I was thinking about every year, year and a half. I think once you get that 2 to 3 year mark, you're really, because you have to, I mean, like I said, I don't have DVC. So, and you know, I chose not to do that for my own reason. But I think that when you're banking your points like that, it's just, it gets too confusing. And you've got them racked up, and I think that I would just save the money in like a special bank account for your trip, and then, you know, book the hotel that you're really wanting to book at. I think that that's probably going to be the better option.
And the thing I've heard from folks that are DVC, I'm not dogging DVC because I know people love it. You know, my good friend Scott's DVC, Pam Forrester has been at some point. She is not.
She still is.
You know, she still is. She sold some of her contracts, but she has some still. But the thing is, like, you know, I've heard frustrations from people that are DVC too with that they're almost overselling the DVC resorts, where they're really having a hard time getting exactly what they're looking for the dates. And a lot of people on DVC are, you know, settling, you know, like, well, I didn't get what I was exactly looking for, but I'm still going to use my points. I'm still going to have a good time. But I wanted to stay, say, at the Polynesian Villas, but I ended up, you know, over at Animal Kingdom Lodge, Kidani Village, which isn't a bad thing, but it wasn't what they were looking for.
What I was exactly looking for.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm hearing that a lot.
But, and then you could get that room by booking it.
Yeah, cash.
By yourself. Yeah, cash. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I say save the money and save up the money in a bank account and then don't touch it. And then use it for every 2 to 3 years when you want to take the big trip.
All righty. Well, that's going to do it for today's question. Send those in. We'll get to them next Wednesday. Mike at brguestpodcast.com. Promise no karate or Napoleon Dynamite talk. Who knows, though?
Oh, I can't promise Napoleon Dynamite talk.
Maybe I'll get forced to. Is that a Universal property? Maybe they'll make me watch it while I'm down there. No?
It
sounds
dumb.
So it might be.
I can't wait.
All right.
You're going to have so much fun at Universal, Mike.
Yes. Here's my excited face. There it was again. Okay, so anyway, today's show brought to you by our friends at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. And this is a free iOS app. It's going to turn your Apple device into a Disney device. Ricky, look into your crystal ball. What are we reading about today on the app? What's in the news? Give us something good.
I have no news. I mean, it's kind of in quiet news-wise. So I got nothing. All I'll say is that it's an awesome app, and also you can do the countdown too, which is always fun. And I've got a countdown going on. What about you?
I do. Yeah. Like I said at the top of the show, my countdown is gone for this trip, the Secret Dark Side Half Marathon Weekend / training / other stuff trip that I have on the app. But I'm resetting it for June 30th. I'm going down for Toy Story Land. I can't wait. I want to be a toy over at the studio.
I'm excited. I've got a couple.
But is it bad though that I think I'm more excited about Woody's Lunchbox than Slinky Dog's coaster?
Seriously, Woody's Lunchbox. I can't even tell you how excited I am for Woody's Lunchbox. I just hope, I hope that they can sustain the food, because I have I'm very pessimistic on the fact that they're going to be able to continue to serve that food the whole time. So I like dying to go eat. I've got to get there within the first month, because otherwise I'm not going to get to enjoy the delicious food that I really want to make sure I get. So the s'mores sandwich is everything.
I don't know. I feel like terrible, like as a person, like the last 48 to 72 hours, because as Woody's Lunchbox menu was announced, like, my, you know, Slinky Dog Coaster was like way up here, like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train when it came out. And then when Woody's Lunchbox Menu came out, I was like, it went down. It was so sad. I'm a terrible Disney fan. That's just not good.
I'm so excited about food. Gosh, I'm sad. Well, anyway, pathetic. That's
a long ad for Virtual Mickey, but check them out. Great apps. Turn your Apple device into Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. Again, follow on the social media, having a good time down at Walt Disney World right now. I'll be taking selfies of Pam, seeing if she's paying attention during the classes. No, because I'm clear of Universal by now. I am at Coronado. That's in the past. It's purged. It's we'll see.
Hey, the purge is actually what
see, I don't want to do that. That is a crazy. Like I've always seen
Halloween Horror Nights.
I don't want to do that. I worked at a haunted house once. No.
It's just for Halloween Horror Nights. You're fine. This year you can go see Stranger Things.
I've never seen that. I could care less about that.
And I might actually.
And I'm like a huge 80s fan. Like I'm a huge 80s fan. Like
I listen right up your
It probably is because I listen to like retro podcasts about old arcades and Commodore 64s and Atari 2600. I should like that, but I don't know why I don't. I don't have time. I watch sports. Cardinal Nation. Anyway, so we'll have a lot going on. Social media, Instagram, Twitter, at BRGuestMike, Facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. Please follow along. It could be
a
really interesting
week. Don't forget, we also have an Instagram and a Twitter account, BRGuestPod. Yay!
Yes, and that's awesome. So we need to build that one up too. So having a good time. So we'll be back again on Friday. More of your listener questions. If you have listener questions, send those in. I'm going to be here with Pam. We're going to be doing the same thing. It's going to be the Pam and Mike show. And maybe Ricky will be there. I don't know if you got something going on. Maybe. Oh, we're doing it during the day. I don't think you can make it. You actually have a real job.
We'll see. It'll depend on what time you're doing it.
Yeah, okay.
And we'll feel like going back to work at lunch.
Okay. That's how it rolls. All right. That's how we roll here. All right. So anyway, there will be a show on Friday. We don't know who will be there. There's three of us. Two or three of us will be here.
There's two or three
Guess
of us,
what?
Yeah.
I will be here. I'm like Cal Ripken. I'm here. I'm the Iron Man. Anyways, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Sorry for how crazy today's show was, but hopefully you had a laugh. And maybe
you love you us. Something. That's why you
listen. I hope you'll still be back on Friday. So until then, we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.